Dan Vail.
Well, God bless you. It's wonderful to see all your beautiful faces, and it's great to be here. I was thinking, today's the 22nd of December, is that correct?
Yeah.
First day of summer.
All right.
Somewhere.
2 years ago today, I was, getting out of ICU after being hooked to a ventilator with a tube coming out of my throat here, and I remember the guy coming in and talking to me about, well, we'll see if you can talk. What? and they're working with me on how to use the trach and talk through the trach. And I was just in total disbelief. I just could not believe it. Didn't want to believe it. Didn't want to hear about it. Just, no way. This is happening. Can't be happening. But I'm here today. Thankful to be here. There's a lot of details I don't remember. Just told my wife I need to go to the hospital because I looked in the mirror and didn't recognize who this was. My face had swollen up, and then my airway got blocked, but she got me there in 4 or 5 minutes. And then next thing she knows, they were doing CPR on me. So, you know, was this a great event that changed my life and the great event that I saw the light? And I quickly came running. No, none of that happened. None of that. Just didn't happen. So if you're waiting for a huge event to change your life, it may. I can't speak for you, but God gave us His Word so we could change our lives. He made known His Son so we could change our lives. I'm thankful to be here and share God's Word with you today. So, Jim, thank you for allowing me to present God's Word. And this time I've got it all typed out. I know how to cut and paste now. The title of this teaching is Our Responsibility and Priority. Well, we know what the priority is, or we should know. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. Okay, 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Impossible to please Him without faith, without believing. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And you're thinking, well, what is He? That's a good... The only way you're going to know that is His Word. But He is. You know what? I could spend the rest of the year trying to explain what God is and not even get close. That's how great God is. So God is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, you want to be rewarded? Seek God. Pretty simple. That's, boy, the manifestations were, weren't they great? Let's look at 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 23.
No, what?
1 John 3:23. You know, without clarity, there's confusion, isn't there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And without a starting point, what do? And how do we get there? Well, thank God we've got the Word that gives us clarity and gives us a starting point. 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's commandment. How tough is it? That's a real hard commandment, isn't it? He made things so difficult for us to get into His grace and into His presence. Yeah. This is His commandment. Well, if you know the Old Testament, how many commandments were there? And then what Jim's been teaching, and there was a rule for this and a rule for that and a special offering for this, but a special, and just layers and layers and layers. Now, would you rather have lived then or now? So, this is the commandment, that you believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, wow. Okay, I can do that. And love one another as he gave us commandment. So, we're to love each other. Now, that could be difficult. No. 1 John 4:14. Okay, you don't have far to go there. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Praise God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, can you imagine us really believing that God dwells in us? Either this word is not true or is true. It's bigger than I can explain, but it's written in black and white right here that God dwells in us. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what?
Love.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So, you know, twice it's kind of established God has chosen us as his dwelling place. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have... Oh, I'm in verse 17, by the way. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, when we love God with all our heart, we trust God with all our heart. If you don't love God, how can you trust him? And vice versa. You know, it's easy to have fear. You just look around you and see what's going on, and some of the evil that happens. You just think, wow, this could happen, that could happen, and if this happens, that happens. Well, that starts a road down the road of fear and torment. But if you really love God, you trust him fully, you can look fear right in the eyes and say, God's bigger than this. God is more powerful than whatever that stronghold over you might be. We're going to get to that verse too. So trust God, love God, and be absent of fear. We love him because we're so good. We love him because he first loved us. You know, this is the part. We got to get our priorities straight. Sometimes we think, well, I've been doing this for a while. I know a lot of stuff now. You know, God loves me because I'm so good. You know, he loved us when we were dead. Yeah. And trespasses and sins. We never earned his love, never deserved his love, and we still cannot earn or deserve his love. Talking about love, let's just get a little perspective here in Romans 13. And in verse 8. Another verse about love here. And what? Who is love? And what is God?
God is love.
Okay. In Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled what? Wow, man. That's a lot of law fulfilled in love. And I'll read verse 9 just because I can. I'll read all the way to 10 here because it really wraps it up. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. Wait a minute. I could probably love my neighbor if they're okay. But love myself all the time? Love God, love yourself, and then your neighbor? This is, and that all of the law, all of that written before time is covered basically by this commandment. I didn't write this down, but that's what it says. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's pretty incredible. But God made it that simple. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Okay, everybody there? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what?
Love.
Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jeez, I think I'm repeating myself here a little bit. Did God want us to understand something here? Must have. Or he said it once, and once is enough. Once is enough, right?
Yeah.
When God says something, but he keeps reminding us that this love thing is a pretty big thing here. So, let's look at an example of love and an example of serving. And this is kind of a different example, but I thought it was very worthy. It is worthy because it's God's word. let's look at Ephesians 1:15. This is a prayer, and this is a recorded prayer that God had Paul write down. Paul received revelation from God, wrote it down. So I looked at this. Now this is a vision and a prayer. So 1:15 of Ephesians. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Now, I could use some of that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Does anybody in here think they could use that?
Yes.
are there situations in life that there's just no answer except from God?
That's right.
And what are we going to do when we get across this? I know what I do. I've got to analyze it to death.
Yeah.
And I wake up in the middle of the night, just rehash it a million times. Wait a minute. Why don't I just go to God and believe that he is and that he will give me the answer? That'd be a little easy. That's a shortcut, though, isn't it? That's a real shortcut. I need some of that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The more we know about God, the better we can walk with him. The better we can walk with him, the more power we can manifest. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? His mighty power. Now, how powerful is God? Yeah. Again, we could discuss it all day long and not come close. Which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And Jim, you said that's at his own right side? At his own right side. In the heavenly places, far above all principality. You mean all governments? All dictators?
Yep.
All evil people?
Yep. Even
the
good ones.
Even good ones. every name, not just one, not just evil. All of them, every single one. Even Mohammed?
Yeah.
Buddha? All of them. Far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So is there any name greater? Is there any power greater? And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, to wrap this up a little bit, Jim, if you'll go to Colossians 1:27 and read 27, 28, and 29, please.
Colossians 1:27-29.
Hey, read it.
By Jim Melton.
Jim Melton, yes. Thanks, Jim.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
Put your name there. Mm-hmm. Why not? That's believing that he is. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we are challenged with some difficult things, and they'd be kind of hard to understand. So let's look what God says in his word. In Ephesians 6:12. And if I can ever get this one totally locked into my mind and totally believe it, I wouldn't have a sleepless night. In Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it sure looks like it sometimes. It sure looks like that guy is out to get me, or that situation, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. There could be people above me that have positions of authority over me that try to make my life difficult. So therefore I need to engage with them and really show them my stuff, right? Not unless God tells me to, because I tell you what happens if you not, God doesn't tell you to, it sure goes to backfires on you. You know, this is where you need that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this is where you have to know we're seated at the right side of God, the right hand of God. We're seated with him above every name that is named, far above. Now, these are in high places, but we're, what we just read, far above. So, when it comes to a situation, take a deep breath and look down, way down. Just pretend you have to put binoculars on to see it. That's what God's Word says. We're seated way up there, far above. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I heard this verse many, many years ago, and it kind of made sense, but the longer you live, the more it makes sense. Sometimes it just takes time to get it saturated in your brain. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, yeah, we're still in this fleshly body, and we're still in this fleshly world. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our welfare are carnal.
No, not cardinal.
No. The weapons. Wait a minute. In the cardinal mind, in the mind that I try to do, it's always this is it. I try to do it myself. I'm going to DIY. Do it yourself program sometimes.
Yeah.
For the weapons of our welfare are not cardinal. We could stop and go on home right now if we realize that we have spiritual weapons that are not made of flesh and blood, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jim, I've heard this taught many ways, but one of the things that I remember is basically, yeah, it's fortified. It's above you. It's right there. But you could pull it down with God's wisdom and God's power.
Okay. Amen.
So sometimes all we want to see is we can't do anything. Well, that's true. Maybe you can't, but God can. God can pull down strongholds. Okay. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now this is where it really makes sense to me. Casting down imaginations. Do you ever play a movie in your mind when you're having conflict?
Oh yeah.
Over and over again? Mm-hmm. And maybe 10 different ways? Mm-hmm. Over and over again? Casting down those imaginations. And every high thing. But those. Wait a minute. Those high things, you're above it and you're looking down. You're so far up, put your binoculars on, look down on it. Because God has seated you at his own right hand. So, I lost my place. Here we are. Yep. Pulling down of strongholds against casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay. To the obedience of Christ. Let's think about that for a second. In Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What did he do when he had tough situations? What did he do to choose his disciples? Stayed up all night praying, didn't he? What did he do on a regular basis, like all the time?
Pray.
He had a relationship with God. So if he's our example, what's our priority?
Prayer
and relationship with God. That's our number one priority, is building that relationship with God. Put this mind in you, which is, it's like, that mind, how do I get his mind? Well, let's look at what he did. He studied the word and he fellowshiped with God. So, what was the mind of him? Seeking God. He was not on a do-it-yourself program. He was on a do-it-with-God program. So, if I'm going to let this mind be in me, which was in Christ, I need to be on a do-it-with-God program. Or else, I'm back to my cardinal ways. I'm trying to fight this with flesh and blood. And I'm trying to understand it with flesh and blood. That's a sad story. It's because God knows, and God can help us. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. What did Jesus do? He went to God all the time. In chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. That's the kind of relationship that Jesus had with God. I really believe that. He wasn't hesitant to go to God. He went to God with everything. So that's what we need to do. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When's the time of need?
All
every
time.
Single day. So when do we go to God?
All the time.
Let's look at Hebrews 13:13. This is such a short little verse here that just, I go, I got to put this one in here. It's so good. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hey, I can walk around. Guess what? See my buddy back here? He's got my back. You know, I can walk around. I can boldly say, God is with me. He's my helper. He's not only with me, he's in me. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why was I sweating and losing sleep? Why was I running that movie 10 times from 10 different ways on 10 different scenarios? Why do we do that? Stop and take time to pray. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. I'm not going to go to this other one, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's what we need to do. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that the mindset that he had? Of course. Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by..." Oh gosh, here we are in the love story again. "By love, serve one another. For all the law is filled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I think we've already read that once, didn't we? So, God is spirit, God is love. God dwells in us. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. Our priority is God. Our responsibility is to go to him and to believe him. Our responsibility is to manifest that spirit so that we can have the fruit. Galatians 5:22. "I can't make you have love. I can't make you have joy. God can't make me, but he sure allows me by free will to manifest his spirit so I can have it. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace." Oh, don't like this one. "Long suffering." Doggone it. We were going so good. And now, long suffering. Well, I've got the patience sometimes of just don't have any. Where did it go? My wife's true. I don't know what happens. I want to know. Well, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In closing, we know our priority is God, and our responsibility is to walk with him and to go to him. How do we do that? Well, guess what? He gave us his word. So, I've looked at this, and I guess this could be a lifetime teaching and a lifetime work in 2 Peter 1:1 through verse 8. Who would love to read 2 Peter 1:1 through 8? Kaya? Okay, go ahead, please, Kaya.
1:1-1:8.
Correct.
"Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What a load. This is your instructions. This is your daily building blocks. This is, God gives us His word so we know what to do. This is what we need to do. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for our health and well-being, and for how much you bless us and love us and instruct us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.